The Japanese carry trade collapsing, and it's going to, is the biggest financial change in at least 50 years and potentially in history. It is going to affect the U.S. bond market, and it is affecting the U.S. bond market already, and it's absolutely going to affect every large financial market that has been overblown, which of course would be cryptocurrencies and the U.S. stock market. But in my view, we're about to have a crash that nobody's ever even dreamed of before.
Bob Moriarty, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
How are you? It's been a while.
It's been too long. It has been a while, but some interesting times that we're living in right now, and that's why you're one of my go-tos. If not, that's why I'm having you on here. Some crazy stuff going on with the Japanese bond market. Let's talk about that. Is this the end of the carry trade, and what are the wider ramifications of all of this?
Okay, if you can post a chart of the interest rates in Japan, that would be a good thing because when people see it, the Japanese interest rates are literally shooting sky high. And in interest rates, people like to believe governments can control the interest rates, and they really can't. Okay, the market controls interest rates, and ultimately that's true. And the market is saying we demand higher interest rates in Japan. I don't even know if anyone has ever predicted how big the carry trade is. The over-the-counter derivatives is about 800 billion, which seems like a big number. And I'm told by many sources the off-the-books derivatives is $2 to $3 trillion. But the carry trade, and there's no way to measure this, is basically people borrowing money in Japanese yen and buying 30-year treasury bonds in two different time periods. And what they're trying to do is capture a fraction of a percentage of the interest, and it is not a high gain investment, but it's a high probability investment. You go back to long-term capital management. Long-term capital management was essentially doing the same thing, but long-term capital management got whacked because they forgot that every once in a while you went outside the band of normal trade, and it put them into bankruptcy. The Japanese carry trade collapsing, and it's going to, is the biggest financial change in at least 50 years and potentially in history. It is going to affect the U.S. bond market, and it is affecting the U.S. bond market already, and it's absolutely going to affect every large financial market that has been overblown, which of course would be cryptocurrencies and the U.S. stock market. But in my view, we're about to have a crash that nobody's ever even dreamed of before.
So when you say it's going to affect this, is it how is it going to affect it just out of the US or because of interest rates are getting higher or because is it going to affect the US bond market? When we're seeing a sell-off because of the interest rates it's not as stable, I guess, is what is that what you're trying to say?
That's part of it. Let's talk about banks. Banks lend long and borrow short. Okay. And That is what means every bank in the world is subject to a run on the bank if things go outside the bounds historically. And that's what's happening to the Japanese market, where the Bank of Japan holds over 50% of the Japanese bonds. Okay, there are days in which there's no trades in that market, but it's a remarkably stable market of low interest rates. Well, that just changed, okay? And why it changed, I can't tell you. Tariffs would be part of it. But the Japanese hold the largest number of U.S. government treasuries. So in order to protect their currency, they're selling the treasuries, which, of course, is driving the interest rates in the United States up. And the interest rates on the 30-year note is now above 5%, and that's the red line. So bad things are happening. The bond market, I think, is 8 times as large as the stock market. People don't understand how important the bond market is. But the key to bond market is stability. And as soon as it becomes unstable, the entire financial system becomes unstable. 2 years ago, the gilts in the UK, their high-quality government bonds, increased something like interest rates increased 54% in 1 year. You just cannot have that. It's not, I mean, if gold went up 50% in 1 year, everybody would be hooting and hollering. And when bond interest rates went up 50% 1 year, there was absolute sheer panic, and it almost stopped the world's financial system. But the carryover from the Japanese bond market into the U.S. bond market and the U.S. stock market is going to be catastrophic.
Okay. So, and this is happening right now?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you can get chart of the Japanese interest rates on bonds, it would show that.
Okay, well, there's huge ramifications here for this, specifically then with the U.S. dollar. And it seems like this is just we're going into another round of currency wars. Is that what you're thinking?
I think it's worse than that. There is a reason you don't attack all of your trading partners. Nobody in the Trump administration is aware of that. Donald Trump conducts business with the baseball bat, but that's how the mafia conducts business. And you can do that until there's another mafia boss who is bigger and badder. And frankly, the financial market is so much bigger and more important than Donald Trump that he's going to be in for quite a shock.
Yeah, I would agree with you. What are the global ramifications with this? Is this just tied with Japan or in the Japanese bond market and the U.S. bond market? Or does this have ramifications also with Europe, if you would, and with China, because they're a large bondholder as well of U.S. debt?
Everyone is dumping U.S. Instruments, and it's all interrelated, and literally we should get into Ukraine. There is a fairly convincing argument that the UK was in favor of getting into World War I because the country was essentially bankrupt as a result of all the wars they had gotten involved in. And I read a piece a couple of months ago saying that it was actually Roosevelt who believed it. Here's what happened. The U.S. stock market topped in September of 1929. It crashed at the end of October of 1929, and it declined 89% from 1929 to 1932. And then from 1932 to 1933, it went up 150%. And then it declined from 1933 into 1938. And Roosevelt, as president of the United States, was arguing with his staff that the only way out of the Depression was another war, and we could easily be there today. Europe is a total financial basket case. Did you see the video of Macron and the German chancellor in the railroad car going to Kiev?
I did.
Okay. What was Macron hiding?
That's highly debatable. Was it cocaine?
According to the French media,
it
was just a napkin. However, according to every mother of a five-year-old who could look at the kid and know when the kid's lying, if it, do not play the sound, okay, just look at Macron and you go, uh-oh, he's hiding something. Now, it could have been a napkin. It could have been a baggie. However, it's hard to hide a Coke spoon, and that's what the Chancellor of Germany was hiding. So it's really bizarre. So if you're wondering what's going on in Europe.
It was bizarre.
And you're wondering what's going on with the Ukraine war. We know that Zelensky is a crackhead. Okay. Nobody's ever questioned that. The things he comes up with is so insane that you just realize, okay, this is the guy who's not dealing with full deck. He's got his hands on some bad dope. And now, literally in the last day or two, the defense minister of Belgium has said NATO desperately wants a ceasefire, because as soon as they get a ceasefire in Ukraine, they're going to rush troops in to secure Ukraine. And I'm thinking, excuse me, do you guys even understand the concept of a red line? Was Lavrov and Putin not clear about the objectives? If you think you're going to take NATO troops and put them into Ukraine and not get them killed, it ain't going to happen. And there have been somewhere between 1 million and 1.5 million Ukrainian young men killed for nothing in a war that should have never taken place in the first place. Nobody's going to ever win this war. All Lavrov and Putin wanted was secure borders for the United States. There were 10 or 15 serious people who have been saying for 30 years, there is a red line, and the red line is NATO in Ukraine. And the former head of NATO came out and said, the war started because we were talking about bringing Ukraine into NATO. There's no question about it. You can hear the narrative from the mainstream media, but the narrative from the mainstream media is 100% a lie. It is deceitful. It's a war that could be stopped with one phone call tomorrow.
Yeah, so why not? That really begs the question. Is it, and if I'll answer that, to me, it's all about money, keeping the military just...
Bingo, you interrupted me, you bastard. Trump just went to the Middle East. What was he trying to accomplish?
Trade deals, money.
No, that's not even trade deal. He was pimping for the military-industrial complex. Okay. That's what the whole thing was about, was pimping for the military-industrial complex. When Donald Trump told the UK, you're spending under 2% of your budget on military weapons, you need to increase that above 3% by 2027. He just pimping for the military-industrial complex. The United States... economy is based on the continuing success of the military-industrial complex, and that's all the United States can think about, because it's the only thing that we make that makes any profit. However, if you actually study the India-Pakistan War, if you consider the people behind India and Pakistan, who won the war?
No one.
Yes, they did.
The military-industrial complex.
No, actually, the military-industrial complex lost, and this is what nobody's figured out. In this case, you got to remember, I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps, almost 2 years in Vietnam. I've been in combat. India should have trounced Pakistan. They are far bigger. They got far more weapons, and it should have been dead easy for them to win. China supplied the weapon systems to Pakistan. And while India claimed to have destroyed 4 Pakistani air bases, I was in Vietnam, okay? India hasn't got any weapons other than nuclear weapons that would destroy 1 air base, okay? That would take a lot of work. Air bases are big. They're spread out, okay? So India did not destroy 4 Pakistani air bases. However, what was touted as the largest aerial combat it was touted as the largest aerial combat in history, which bullshit, okay? The German attacks on England in 1940 were far bigger. The American attacks on Germany in 44 and 45 were far bigger. However, beyond any question, the Chinese weapon systems, which is the real key, and the weapons that they used were far more effective. So the Chinese military-industrial complex won that war. Now, are you aware that the F-35 has a kill switch installed?
No, I'm not.
When the United States built the F-35, they got a code that they could send to the F-35. They can disable the aircraft. Now, why would you buy a weapon system that somebody could disable? And the answer is, in the military, you wouldn't do it. Spiegel, which is one of the top German news media, it's a magazine, came out a month ago and said the German military equipment, tanks, APCs, etc., are crap. Okay. They didn't function in Ukraine. So basically, the Ukraine-Russia war is a real war between the U.S./NATO and Russia. No bones about it, okay? They're supplying weapons because they're trying to destroy Russia. And the Russian weapon systems are far more effective. And the kill ratio should be 8 or 9 to 1. And it looks like it's more like 15 or 20 to 1.
No.
Totally changed warfare. The use of drones has just made the difference between night and day. The United States and Germany were sending in this $5 to $10 million tanks, and $5,000 drones were blowing them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about that. Well, where are we with that then now? I mean, is that because, I mean, it's... from what I understand, Trump is like frustrated that there's not a peace. And if there's not a peace, they're saying, this is your war now. This is your war.
He's not looking for peace. He's looking for ceasefire.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah, there is. There is. We'll explain that, though.
Okay. If Trump called up Zelensky and said, hey, remember that platinum credit card, platinum American Express credit card? Yeah, cut it up. We just canceled your account. The war would be over.
Right. Okay?
You think Zelensky is doing anything for the people of Ukraine? Okay, he's doing nothing for the people of Ukraine except killing their children.
Yeah.
Zelensky is there for the money he could steal. And all you have to do is tell them, by the way, we're no longer paying for your government overhead. We're no longer paying for your mansion in Miami or in South Africa. You've been cut off. The war would end that day. There is no way that NATO, the U.S., Kiev are going to succeed in a war with Russia. I mean, Napoleon tried it. Napoleon has the best army in Europe, okay? Mm-hmm. And 90% of them marched, or 100% of the people who marched into Russia, 90% of them didn't march out. And Hitler had an incredibly effective army, and he marches into Russia, and they all got captured. And Zelensky is neither Napoleon nor Hitler. So that war could be and should be ended one day, but it would take real leadership. And when the leaders of Europe are using coke on a train where they're going to Kiev, you got a problem.
Yeah. So how does this work out? You got the Japanese carry trade coming to an end. So you have this whole Asian problem. You have this problem in the bond market, in the U.S. bond market. Well, bond market's really worldwide. Interest rates are going up. And then you have still this tension in Europe here. How is it all related, and how does this all end?
In a flash.
You think so?
Does... Has Israel indicated an interest in attacking Iran?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, how does a country of 9 million people attack a country of 90 million people?
Nukes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
There is a fatal flaw to defining yourself as the chosen people. And you start thinking that there are no boundaries, okay? Mm-hmm. You can kill women and children. You can violate every international law. You can violate boundaries. I'm going to tell you something. There are subtleties that you have to think about because they're so important. Now, you have seen pictures of Americans in combat. What are they wearing on their shoulder?
Smokes.
I know. American flags.
American flags, right.
Okay, when the IDF goes into Gaza and they're wearing a flag, or actually a map, on their shoulder, what is it a map of?
How do you get out?
No. You got a map on the wall behind you. What's it a map of?
The world?
No. They don't give a shit about the world. They already control the world.
Tell me.
Greater Israel. Okay. Now, for your viewers, don't listen to me. Don't listen to Andy. Go to Google and put in Greater Israel. Where does Greater Israel start on the West?
I don't know. Tell me.
The Nile.
Oh, gosh.
Where does it extend to on the East?
I'm guessing Jordan?
Euphrates.
The Euphrates River.
What country does it extend to on the South?
You tell me.
Saudi Arabia.
Saudi. Wow.
What country does it extend to on the north?
Would that be Syria?
Turkey.
Turkey's in the north, yeah.
Okay, so in that map of Greater Israel, it's not hidden. I mean, nobody's hiding this. They make no bones about it. It includes Syria. It includes Lebanon. It includes Iraq. It includes part of Saudi Arabia. It includes Jordan. It includes part of Turkey. Now, does the fact that the IDF has this map on their shoulder indicate that that's something they're thinking about doing?
I hope not.
Are you kidding? They don't make any bones about it, okay? Netanyahu's on the television every day saying, look, we're going to totally wipe out Gaza. We're going to control Gaza. Okay. Israel and the monsters who are running that country intend to create greater Israel. And that includes part of Egypt, part of Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, and into Turkey. Okay. And they make no bones about it. Okay. This is what we're going to do. And they wear it on their shoulder.
That's scary because that's another world war right there. And how do they do that without us? They don't.
Well, I started getting into this. If you got this really special relationship with God, and you're the chosen people, and everybody else is just an animal, you can do anything. And you know you can do anything because you got God on your side. Have you ever seen a German belt buckle from World War One? It's kind of an oval, egg shape.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
It says, God with us. Okay, every military going back the last 32,000 years has claimed God with them. Okay. And 100% of the time, it's delusional. Okay. God doesn't give a shit. Okay. She's too busy watching the soaps. Okay. She doesn't give a shit about some chicken shit little war. So Israel is about to fall into a trap. There are British aircraft, including fighters and aerial refueling aircraft, on the way to Cyprus right now to support an Israeli attack on Iran.
Good gosh. Just when I thought things were calming down.
And what universe are you from?
Well, when is this all supposed to hit the fan? And obviously, that's a hard question.
Here's what's really crazy. Now, this is a really good question. Do you follow Martin Armstrong?
I do. I've had him on.
Okay. Very bright guy.
Yeah.
Where does he say, what does he say about World War III?
I asked him that. I want to say next year. No?
No. That's when it starts getting hot. He said, we're in World War III, right?
We're in World War III right now. Yep.
And, you know, is he right? I think he is. And it's one of those good news, bad news stories. You want to know?
Yeah.
Okay, the good news is I'm 78. You want the bad news?
Yep.
You're not.
I got to live through it. And my kids have got to live through it. So let me ask you this. So let's talk about gold briefly here. And I want to talk about oil. Gold's been ripping or has ripped. It's gone sideways for a few months, just needs to catch its breath.
No.
Tell me when about
it. It's all time high.
I want to say 6 weeks ago.
Thank you. A month ago, April 22nd.
There you go.
Okay. So it hasn't been high for a couple of months. It's had a really minor, almost meaningless correction. And here's what's really funny. If you remember, in the week it hit its all-time high at 3,500, it was up $100 a day, 3 days. In that 1 week, And the amazing thing is, in the month since then, I looked. I think that gold's down like $280 in the last month. Well, that's like chump change. If the Japanese bond market blows up, which it's doing, and the U.S. Treasury bond market blows up, which it's doing, and the tariffs drive the price of everything Americans buy higher, would that be a good reason to head for safety?
Yeah.
Like your house burning down, and you come home, you've taken your wife out for dinner, special night, it's Mother's Day in Europe here, and you find out your house is burning down, and you drive up and you're in a panic, and guy comes up to you, and it's your insurance agent. And he said, you know, times are tough right now, but there's bad stuff happening. Would you like to increase the insurance on your house? What do you do?
Of course.
Where do I sign?
Right.
Okay. If there was ever a reason to own gold or silver or platinum, I mean, the Chinese just woke up to the fact that silver relative to gold is almost the cheapest it's ever been. Platinum relative to gold is absolutely the cheapest ever been. So screw gold. Okay. You need to be buying platinum. Platinum's up 10% in the last month. And lots of intelligent people are saying that silver's in for a run. And the Chinese government is actually telling their people to buy silver. But if ever you needed an insurance policy against financial chaos, this would be the time.
The time is now. Yeah. Yeah. Well, who said it? Is it Confucius or Buddha? May you live an interesting...
The Chinese curse.
The Chinese, yeah. We live in interesting times. Well, we're going to end on that. Bob, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your thoughts. And it was too long. It's been 3 months since I had you on. We need to talk every 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, here's what's scary. And I said this before we got started. There's so much stuff going on. There are six things that are going to happen today that you could spend 3 hours talking about each one of them.
Yeah.
The level of change and the things that are going on are so spooky. Were you born?
Was I born?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born.
Were you born yesterday?
No.
Okay. Joe Biden hasn't taken a test for prostate cancer since 2014. Yes or no?
Yes.
Bullshit.
Yeah, right? You're right.
If you believe that, you were born yesterday.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Did Epstein commit suicide?
No, right. Yeah.
We live in interesting times, but the beauty is, and if people read the book, The Fourth Turning, okay, they can be armed. And there is a very vibrant, non-mainstream media, you and I are part of it, where you can get a different perspective. You don't have to believe 100% of what you're told, either from the mainstream media or from us. However, you're getting a totally different perspective. But there are some very dangerous things happening right now, and people should prepare.
Yeah, 100%. Bob Moriarty, 321 Gold. I want to thank you so much for your time, and I'm looking forward again to our next conversation.
Send me the link.
I absolutely will. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, my friend. Thank you.